time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel, SI's Ross Dellinger, and SI's Pat Forty. Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and we have the Alabama basketball store. One way to get people to start talking about college basketball is to have the National Player of the Year, potentially, have his name come up in a preliminary hearing on a murder from back in January that one of his teammates, now former teammate, is facing capital felony for. And it is quite a story and quite an uproar that has come out about it. Brandon Miller is the star player. He's absolutely phenomenal. Potential number three pick in the NBA draft. Possibly ahead of Scoot Henderson at two. Who knows? He's 6'9". He scored 41 points last night, or Wednesday night, if you will. This is Thursday morning against South Carolina. Although, if you want to know exactly how this whole story is going down, it was pointed out, and Ross and I just looked through it. The Alabama men's basketball Twitter feed makes no mention of Brandon Miller from last night's 78-76 victory in overtime against South Carolina. No pictures, no highlights, no words about him. He scored 41 of the 78 points, and he's not even...
He scored 41. He scored the tying basket at the end of regulation and the winning basket at the end of overtime.
Yeah. Not mentioned. Didn't get any hype on the Alabama men's basketball Twitter page. This is just a weird, weird story. And I'll say right up front, the way I approach these stories, and everyone else can approach them however they want, I'm not the this is what you should be doing guy. I can be. I have opinions, but I'm more of the, this is interesting. What are they all going to do? Sort of like watching a football game.
Yeah.
Say, I'd run the ball here, but I'm kind of interested in what Mahomes does, right? Maybe he'll do something different. So that's kind of my thing. I don't really have a hard and fast thing, but observing this story over this week has been utterly fascinating. It is an absolute tragedy that we had the death of Jamea Harris back in January, young mother who was up in Tuscaloosa visiting her her cousin who goes to Alabama, and then Jamea's boyfriend, Darius Miles, the former Alabama player, and his friend from back in Maryland, Michael Davis, were both charged with the murder. I'm going to get to all the details in a minute. That went down, and it kind of faded away. It was the middle of football, different stuff. But then earlier this week, we get the revelation that both Jaden Bradley and Brandon Miller were both at the scene of the crime, and that Brandon Miller, the gun used in the shooting, was in Brandon Miller's car that he drove over at the request of Darius Miles and used to take the shot. And then we had this calamitous, ridiculous press conference by Nate Oates that he's apologized to multiple times, including the infamous Brandon was just in the wrong spot at the wrong time, which was absurd. But then the actions of Nate Oates in Alabama pretty much follow that sentiment. No matter how many times they say, well, the words weren't right. Well, it seems to be actions are louder than words, and it was on those actions. So I'm a semi-neutral observer here. I'm fascinated in what they all do and just breaking that down. But Pat, your thoughts on just the overall thing before I kind of get into the case for those who haven't followed this case. We're going to break it down in a more detailed manner than you probably will get, certainly most places.
Yeah, and I think that's good because there's a lot of misunderstanding about what we know, at least for sure at this point. I mean, it was a real bombshell that came out, I guess it was Tuesday, you know, that all of a sudden a police officer or law enforcement officer in a hearing said Brandon Miller brought the gun to the scene, and everything that unfolded from there. There had been a little bit of rumor that, like, Miller either was around or his car had gotten shot up, and that actually turned out to be true. But there had been no confirmation of that. There was, you know, he wasn't mentioned in the early reports or anything. And then all of a sudden, you get to this preliminary hearing. It's like, wait a minute, what happened? And so, you know, the reaction to that was swift and strong. And then, yeah, I thought NATO was embarrassing to himself and to his university with his handling of it and his words, at least in reaction to it. And yeah, you can apologize if you want, but why are you there ever? Why would it ever cross your mind to say, wrong spot, wrong time, unless you don't really seem to care very much about what happened? And then, yeah, them going ahead and playing him. Look, I think that at some point in time, Alabama could have been much more forthcoming, and that Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley probably should have sat some games. And if you get in front of this as Alabama, instead of basically trying to hope it's all going to go away, which was not a very good strategy if you think this wasn't going to come out, that if they say, you know what, we had a couple other players that were there. We think they exercised very poor judgment in being there. Brandon Miller ain't going to play for four games or whatever, five games. And same with Jaden Bradley. And we're just going to go through that in January, and it really wouldn't have mattered. Then you don't have this now at the crunch time of the season. But anyway, that's the way they've chosen to handle it, and Brandon Miller's plan, and Alabama really doesn't seem to care what anybody else thinks.
Yeah, no, it's obviously a sad situation. And like Pat said, it's a good point about if during all of this, Alabama would have just kind of, you know, pulled both players, then in had them miss games, specifically Brandon Miller, then maybe we wouldn't be in this position right now, or they wouldn't be in such a position where, you know, you're seeing apologies come out and you're seeing a bunch of different statements. And, you know, it doesn't seem like it was, you know, handled properly back in January. And yeah, it's an awful situation. And I was like falling asleep last night thinking about, you know, cause I always think, try to think of both sides here. And like, you know, if I'm Brandon Miller and I have a friend or something who calls me and tells me to bring his gun to him. I was thinking like when I was in college and I would have a friend and, you know, I lived with three other guys in college in a house and they had hunting rifles. And I'm just like thinking, if my friend is, my roommates is downtown Starkville and I'm at the house and they call me and they say, hey, bring one of my hunting rifles to me. I'm probably not bringing the rifle to my friend. All right. I'm asking why. Why am I bringing this gun to you when you're downtown in a busy street? And so there's really and I understand that, you know, Brandon Wheeler's what, 19 or something, 20? Whatever, still at that age, right? It would be wise to ask questions or not do that. So there's somewhat of a lack of judgment there. And even though he hasn't been charged, and I know Dan's going to get probably into that later about the intent and all that. AL.com had a story about intent and why he's not charged. The lack of judgment in bringing a weapon that was very shortly after that used to kill a woman is probably something that warrants some kind of disciplinary action, I would think.
Right. You know, and look, whether Miller sits two games or five games or doesn't play, doesn't bring back, you know, doesn't bring back Jermaine Harris or anything like that. So when this started, when Oates, the first quotes come out, first there's the court testimony. So Darius Miles and Michael Davis are it's a preliminary hearing. Is this going to carry over to trial? As the judge rules on, they have a preliminary stuff that the prosecution puts out their case a little bit. It's like a pre-trial sort of, and a judge can sit there and say, you have no evidence here. I'll throw this case out now. So that was what it was. So it was a partial telling of the story. So they had a detective from Tuscaloosa on there explaining, and that's where Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley's presence, and Jaden Bradley doesn't get mentioned here. Why was he there? Right. We'll get to that in a sec. But what we had originally heard was, you know, there was a murder, one Alabama player. Now we find out three were at the scene, I'm sorry, including the best player in the country. But Nate Oates comes out with this statement. And I, at first, when I read the quotes, I didn't believe the statement was true. Like, I literally was like, this is a fake account, something. He wrote, we've known the situation since basically it happened. We've been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time. We know about that. I mean, can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. College kids are out. Brandon hasn't been any type of trouble, nor is he in any type of trouble in this case. It's like the wrong spot at the wrong time. I read that and said, that's fake. Then they had a video.
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe it's one of those deep fakes. Like, there's no way someone who is supposedly intelligent enough to be the Alabama basketball coach and make $5 million a year would ever say that. But he did. So then if you listen really carefully to the question and his answer, and I said, you know, he didn't know that Brandon Miller brought the gun. That was my feeling, right? And subsequently, we have found that out. He knew that Brandon Miller was there. And they probably knew that Jaden Bradley was there. But they thought, hey, he was on the scene, but we're not pursuing him. That's what the detective said. He's not a suspect. So maybe they were walking by. Maybe they were with him. Maybe they were at a different bar or a diner or whatever. It's all happens down the strip of Tuscaloosa. And you go, oh, well, I mean, if the guy was there, whatever, he didn't know, fine. But the lack of curiosity is amazing on this.
You think?
Coaches talk about, I'm going to watch over your son like he's my son. If my kid was at the scene of a murder, oh, you're not being charged? Okay, good, no problem. Let's go. Unbelievable lack of curiosity here. And I understand the concept. We're not going to interfere in an investigation. We're not going to be investigators. Even the perception of asking a question. But still, if you're at the scene of a murder, the bar should not be, have you been charged with a capital felony? It's what were you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how to handle that, but boy, is this a sympathetic look at the case. Well, okay, you were there, but apparently they're not arresting you. Moving on. So here's the case. I'm going to lay this out. It's going to take a couple minutes, but. So Alabama plays a game. Darius Miles, Michael Davis are friends from Maryland. Brandon Miller's the star player. They're all going to go to this bar, 1225 Sports, which is a bar in the strip of Tuscaloosa. If you've been to the strip of Tuscaloosa, you know where this is. If you haven't, you've been to any college campus, think one block off of campus where there's all of the bars, the little restaurants, your noodles and companies, all those types of things, whatever's there, right? There's a CVS. This is where the kids hang out. This is the bar scene of student population Tuscaloosa. So they go there. Now, Brandon Miller drops them off. He's going to go into the bar with them. You can go into bars, I believe, at 18 in Alabama. I don't really care about any of this, right? He says he leaves because the line is too long. Doesn't want to wait in the line. Red flag number one in this story. Brandon Miller is not waiting in any lines in Tuscaloosa. I mean, wait, what? The 6'9" National Player of the Year and future lottery pick has to wait in line at the 1225 sports bar? Maybe that is true. I don't know. But that is an absolute red flag on this story. And I don't think it's germane to the case. But this is the first thing I'm sitting there going, I don't know if I'm hearing this story right. Because that ain't how bars work. He comes in and drinks all night free if he wants to drink, eats all night free, whatever. So right there,
the line like I'm going,
maybe this story isn't like my antenna's up and we ain't even gotten anywhere on this night. So whatever. He goes somewhere else. And this is the thing. I don't know that Alabama ever asked Brandon Miller where he was.
Right.
Because this is what they're saying. They didn't know. They don't know where Jaden Bradley or Brandon Miller was. They just know he showed up. They showed up at the scene of a murder. Why? We've nothing on Bradley. Brandon Miller. And this is the thing I'm going to do. Okay. What are the facts of this case? Is also, oh, this is wrong. I am going to take all of this from Brandon Miller's attorney statement. Now, a defense attorney is going to give the most sympathetic, the best light possible retelling of what went down, right? That's what a defense attorney does. So this isn't, well, maybe more positive facts will come out. This is it. This is the best you got. This is completely biased telling of this story. That's fine. I'm going to go with that because I wasn't in the courtroom to hear all of the testimony, but I have a sense. So Brandon leaves and goes somewhere else, goes to a restaurant. What restaurant? Where? Who knows?
Right.
Was he drinking?
With whom?
Who was he with? What happened? Right? I don't know. Maybe nothing. Maybe he just went and had a ham sandwich somewhere. I have no idea what he was doing. Okay. Miles and Davis go in and they start drinking. Michael Davis tells the police later he drank so much Tito's tequila that he doesn't even recall anything on the night. He's absolutely hammered. Okay, Miles.
I didn't know Tito's made tequila. I didn't know either.
That was a surprise to me too. I did not look that up. There's another like what? Anyway, yeah. Maybe they do. He said Tito's tequila. Maybe he was so drunk he thought it was Tito's tequila and he was drinking vodka. I don't know. Eventually, these guys need a ride home. They come out of the bar. Davis, who is not on the team, he's friends with Darius Miles, who's on the team, is trying to apparently hit on Jamea Harris. She's got her boyfriend there. There's some kind of argument, dispute. It doesn't, the detective kind of put it out there as not that big of a deal, but it escalated. Miles is apparently texting Miller to come pick him up. Up to an hour is what we were told. Okay. Miller never comes. He's not ricing over there. He's doing other stuff. He's driving someone else somewhere out. We don't know what exactly are all the details. We don't know. So 1:38 in the morning, the text comes in. I need my joint, which is a term for a gun. And there's a racial slur. And he says, just got a faking, which is sort of there's some kind of dispute. There's a threat, but he doesn't really believe the threat. Of the other guys, like they're going to do anything is sort of how the term faking works. Whatever. He says he needs his gun. That text came out in court testimony. So Miller is driving over to get him. Now, this is Miller's own attorney saying, without Brandon knowing any of this context, okay, he does not know the context of the words exchanged earlier between Miles and an individual with Mr. Harris, okay? Doesn't say he didn't know that there was some dispute. He just doesn't know the context of the dispute. Thing with defense attorney statements. God bless our defense attorneys. We all could use one at some point, perhaps. It's not what they say. It's what they don't say.
Yep.
Okay? You have to read this stuff really carefully. These guys are really smart. This statement is excellent. Jim Standridge of Crownover and Standridge LLC. If you need an attorney in Tuscaloosa, hire Jim. This is pretty good. Brandon Miller has competent representation. This is a good statement. But doesn't say he didn't know there was a fight. So says he didn't know the context. And as Brandon was already on the way to pick up Mr. Miles texted Brandon and asked him to bring him his firearm. Okay? So let me say this, I'll be back up a little bit. Earlier in the night when Miller dropped Miles and Davis off, Miles left his gun in the backseat of Miller's car, possibly under an article of clothing. Okay. Miller drove around all night with this gun. Mm-hmm. Now, there is no, I looked up these statutes last night. You can do that. You can drive. You do not have to register a gun anymore in Alabama. You can just drive around with a gun. So, I mean, this is a future lottery pick. I mean, there's a lot on the line. Now, this would have been a misdemeanor or something. It would have been pled down. It's literally legal in Alabama to just drive around with a gun. You don't have to register it, anything. Can't have one on campus, but whatever. These are small things. What the attorney doesn't say is Brandon Miller didn't know there was a gun in the car.
Correct.
If Brandon Miller was like, dude, I dropped them off and he left the gun under a, I didn't look back there. I had no idea there was a gun in the car. The attorney would say it.
Yes. Absolutely. 100%.
If he didn't read the text message, I need my gun, just got a the defense attorney would have said it. The best correct example you could possibly have is, look, they left a gun in the car. I didn't even know it was there. I just pulled up to get them. They grabbed the gun out the back. Shoot, all right. That, and then you'd be like, yeah, this guy's, I mean, he didn't do anything, right? But he didn't say that. So you can 99% surmise he knew the gun was back there. Miles probably left it back because he's carrying a gun into a bar. There might have been a detector or the bouncers or whatever, right? So he knew there was a gun in the car. He knew that Darius Miles was in some kind of dispute and needed his gun. He knew on a reasonably to believe that they had been drinking all night. He knew he was in a bar. They may have known how drunk they were. And he drove over anyway. They're saying, well, he's on his way. Well, he'd been driving around for like an hour and not responding to the text.
Well, that, okay.
Go ahead.
Where was he for how long and how long did it take to get there? Tuscaloosa is not a big place.
Not a big place.
He may have been not in an off-campus apartment with somebody hanging out. Who knows? But
or he was on his way. Know. It was 1:38 text message came in. 1:45. It's a very short period. 1:38 the text message comes in. He pulls up. They get the gun out the back. They start shooting. At 1:45, and eventually the car, Jamea Harris, the Jeep that Jamea Harris is in, drives away and gets about two blocks to literally in front of Bryant Denny Stadium where they see a police officer. They pull over to get help, and she's dead because she shot. Yeah. So what happens? So it's a short window. So he must have been 2 minutes away. Was he going there anyway, or did the text message spur him to say, oh, I'm finally going to go over there because I've been ignoring this clown all night or ignoring this guy for the last hour. I haven't been able to do it. I don't know. It's an interesting question. You could see that going either way. Either, well, he didn't go just to bring the gun, or maybe he did. I don't know. That's a judgment call. Again, none of this is going to be legal. It's just these would be the questions I would ask if I was Alabama. So when he pulls up, Miles tells Davis about the gun, tells him it's loaded, pulls the gun out of the car, and he starts shooting. 8 shots into the Jeep of Jamea Harris. The guy with Jamea Harris shoots back a number of shots also. 1 hits Davis, 2 hits Brandon Miller's windshield. So this is the other part of the story. That's at least 11 shots fired in a crowded bar district next to a college campus. This was an absolute tragedy. Jamea Harris passed away. She was murdered. Absolute tragedy. This tragedy could have been extended 11 more times.
Sure. Could have been a mass murder.
Could have been a mass murder. It's 1:30 in the morning, Saturday night, bar district. There's people coming out of bars. They're going into diners. Maybe they just studied late on a Saturday night. Who knows? They're finishing their shifts. Bullets are flying around Tuscaloosa. Everyone involved here is lucky that those other bullets, that these one guy is admittedly so drunk he can't remember, and another guy is in a panic, didn't hit anybody else.
Here's the one other element there. The attorney, Standridge, says Miller never left his car, correct?
Correct.
And then in his statement?
He didn't do anything.
Brandon Miller could have been killed if 2 bullets hit his windshield?
Yeah.
Brandon Miller could have been killed. Not only could he have been, he was almost killed.
Yeah.
I would consider 2 shots to my windshield almost killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or some
pretty near death.
Closer than I want to be.
Yeah.
This was not just a murder. This was absolute, reckless, idiotic, insane behavior. This is not acceptable. This is a college strip, not the OK Corral. Unbelievable. We're lucky. Yeah. We're lucky. Brandon Miller. So the shots go down. The guy drives away. Now, the police have offered that Brandon Miller, both Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley, pulled up in their cars. Both have a Dodge. And the detective from Tuscaloosa testified that the Dodge Charger and Dodge Challenger belonged to Miles' teammates. Miller and Bradley were blocking the road where the Jeep was parked. Now, Miller's defense attorney says that is not true. And he says the Jeep actually pulled up after Miller and there wasn't a blocking or whatever. Now, the Alabama fan and Alabama, maybe Alabama's university, just says, well, look what the defense attorney said. Yeah. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. There's supposedly video evidence. We haven't seen it. I don't know if anyone's seen it. Alabama didn't investigate, so they didn't see it, as far as I know. So the cops could be wrong. The cops could be lying. I would say there's a 5-point scale here. Cops are lying about this. Cops are mistaken. It's a judgment call. The attorney's mistaken or the attorney's lying? My guess is it's the judgment call, somewhere in the middle there, right? Mm-hmm. But for to immediately say, well, the defense attorney says he didn't do it, therefore he didn't do it.
Yeah.
I believe from the show My Cousin Vinny, maybe the most famous legal drama from Alabama, or one of them. You're in the unique position as a defense attorney is saying your client didn't do it, right? So if you're Alabama, you go, you can't just point to this defense attorney. Look what the, I mean, they're literally pointing, going, look, we found out this defense attorney says he didn't do it. Okay. Maybe he didn't. Yeah. I hope he didn't. But like, we're just going with that. All right. And so then Miller gets hit twice. He drives away. The other interesting part in the statement to me is this, and I don't know quite what it means, but it's very, very particularly worded. So it's Brandon quickly left the area when gunfire erupted. Good. As soon as he was notified that someone had been injured and the police wished to speak with him, he has fully cooperated with law enforcement's investigation. When was he notified that someone had been injured? Like what happened, right? Is that, yeah. Did he drive right? Yeah, what interesting wording in that statement. I have no idea what that means, but it means more than those collection of words.
Right.
So this is the situation. This is not good. This is not wrong place, wrong time.
No.
Brandon Miller made it the wrong place at the wrong time. Horrific judgment, negligent judgment, reckless judgment. Because he did not know, or you cannot prove beyond a reasonable doubt, that he knew the intention of Miles and Davis, the prosecutors are not going to charge him. Okay, fine. I'm not here to second guess the prosecution. That would be a very tough case. I read the statute. It clearly says that. There are other states where, you know, that level is lower. There's sort of a criminal term called like an act of furtherance, where even if you do something innocent leading up to a crime, like let's say you go into a bank and count the security cameras or something, and then you buy some wire cutters. Well, those are legal actions, right? But then when you hand them to a bank robber and he robs the bank, you could be an act of fur. That's a kind of a clumsy example of it, right? So you can do honest things and still be caught. Alabama, that's not going to happen. So fine. Good. Good. But this was close, right? Oh, yeah. Like this wasn't wrong place, wrong time. This was close.
Also, what do you think your friend, again, I go back to like what I was saying earlier, like what do you think your friend is going to do with a gun? Like if you ask for a gun, what do you think your friend's going to do? Probably one of two things. He's going to use it to either fire on somebody or wave it around in some kind of threat. I mean, it's like, again, I was thinking about this last night, like drifting off to sleep. And this is a bad analogy, but it's like, you know, if I call my wife and tell her, hey, could you bring me a cocktail glass with some ice in it? Like, I'm pouring myself a drink. She knows that, you know,
right.
If I ask that. So yeah. It's like, it's just kind of one of those things. Like, what did you think was going to happen? Just awful judgment. And you got to question everything here.
Everything. And yeah, so it's not a crime. Fine. Good. I don't want to see Brandon Miller go to prison or anything like that. Whatever. Like that is the tough decisions that prosecutors have to make all the time. So you can't prove that he knew. Fine. I'm not even going to suggest, well, like the they're in the tank for Brandon Miller. And I don't believe that. So that's the decision. But there are two standards here. Why Jaden Bradley and Brandon Miller are at the scene of a murder. and a mass shooting that just didn't hit anybody. And the statement's wrong place, wrong time. Oh, we apologize. That was kind of clumsy, but no discipline. We never really investigated. Brandon Miller never told us about this, right? Brandon Miller's attorney never told Nate Oates or anyone at Alabama about this. Just left that fact out. Never mentioned, hey, by the way, I thought you should know, coach, or I'm the attorney. Hey, I just want you guys to know my client had the gun in the car.
Right. I find it, that's a rather immense detail to have not come across Alabama's radar at all. And I don't know this for sure, but usually you guys know this, when a college athlete gets in trouble in a college town and they need a lawyer, what happens? The athletic department's like, you need to talk to this guy because we know this guy and he's worked with us a bunch. So that needs to be your attorney. So like, it's not like Bill Standridge, I'm going to guess, is a complete unknown to the Alabama athletic department. So if Bill Standridge is informed after, you know, I don't know when Brandon Miller lawyered up, but whenever he goes to talk to the cops, when Bill Standridge becomes involved and they go through the story and it's like, yeah, the gun was in the car, I'm pretty sure that got back to the athletic department.
Yeah. So, yes. Look, often, I don't know how it is at Alabama, so I'm going to assume this is not the case. I'm not saying that. But there are other places where they literally put the lawyer's name into their phone.
Yeah.
If you have any trouble, bang, call that lawyer immediately. And things get fixed, or at least you have representation. You're protected. It doesn't matter what it is. You're stopped by the cops. There's a fight at a bar. You're walking down the street and you got, you know, some marijuana, whatever it is, hit that. This guy's going to show up. Okay, good. They should do that. Everybody needs representation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Alabama knew. Yes, the idea that nobody knew in a town that small where the police departments merge, basically. Okay, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But your player didn't come forth with this. His representation did not come forward with this. Jaden Bradley apparently did not.
I'd like to hear from his lawyer, frankly, or him.
Jaden Bradley. You know? We got two guys there. What did Jaden Bradley know?
Two guys in two different cars. And one thing also that Standridge says, Brandon Miller did not block the road.
Oh, right.
He didn't say that Jaden Bradley didn't block the road.
Well, yeah.
He said Brandon Miller. Client.
Yeah. He said they didn't block the road. Oh, he didn't block the road. Well, okay. That's the defense attorney. Maybe. All of a sudden, the cops lied. It took a very positive twist with Alabama fans. cops be lying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But who does? You know, it's just the guy that was going to wait in a line at a bar and might have been somewhere and never really told you he was at the what quite happened. And like, I got a lot of questions, man.
Right. Doesn't it warrant some kind of disciplinary action that the player didn't come forward to the coach and athletic administrators with the full story, which is, oh, by the way, I was driving around with the eventual murder weapon in my car and I delivered it. Like, that seems to be a pretty big piece of a detail. And if he withheld that, it seems to be that he probably should face some kind of a disciplinary action. And as Pat said earlier, you know, even if it's for like optically, like while the university or police are investigating back in January, man, just like sit him for like a week or during the investigation. I mean, it's not that hard.
And there's all sorts of, I mean, you know, was he in danger after the shooting? I mean, there's a million things that, and this is a hard job. It's complicated, but Nate Oates is just like, well, this guy didn't tell me what happened, left out details. His stories got some interesting, but we're going to absolutely believe, like, I don't know if Nate Oates, I don't know if he's capable of reading that state. I mean, I don't know. He's clumsy. He's been really clumsy the last few days with this. I mean,
that's
his statement, his apology, his new statement. It's like, what is this? Like, you know, and he's involved in this thing. I don't know. So I'm just fascinated at like how a university handles this. I really am. I again, Jamea Harris is not coming back because Brandon Miller gets suspended or has to sit out the rest of the year. Nothing is happening. Nothing gets fixed. She's good. Her family is going to, I assume, file civil suits against Brandon Miller and the University of Alabama for negligence or, you know, part of a wrongful death suit, and maybe anybody else that they can. And so that's their right. But this is not, I'm going to feel better about the world if Brandon Miller doesn't play against South Carolina last night. No, I'm just fascinating that in the history of college athletics, I've never seen a case where the player is not, I mean, there isn't a single team rule violated and all of that. I don't know. I was like, they're going to suspend him. This is just what they do. Right.
Even optics alone, suspension or something. But.
So maybe they don't care about optics, and fine. Yep. You don't care about optics. You're just like, we're all in with the player. We are all in on this story. We don't even know the story and we're all in on it. We're good. That is an interesting story. You don't have to be into the judgment and screaming that the prosecutor's corrupt or this or that. It's just a total sea change in how these schools normally do these things. I wrote a book with Jerry Tarkanian. I consider Jerry Tarkanian a friend of mine. I love Jerry Tarkanian and the Tarkanians. Jerry Tarkanian wouldn't have tried this. Like, he might have tried it, but it would have been like, no way. He's sitting. This is the most undisciplinary basketball program, the most outlaw basketball program, and that term that's the wrong term, because there was a real crime that I have ever seen. I mean, we talk about like Will Wade on a tape saying, you know, like that's guys getting money. We never cared. We just were fascinated that LSU was like, we don't care. We're sticking with Will Wade until he loses games. We were like, that's unbelievable. They always suspend these guys. Nope, not anymore. Right. Nothing? Yeah. Just nothing except I guess he got banned on their Twitter feed? Like, nothing?
The Twitter feed is, they're punishing him by not saying how good he is.
The suspension from Twitter.
That's the suspension. And you know what? For teenagers, getting knocked off the social media is quite a punishment. So there is something to be said there. Like, can I nothing. Bring up Alabama's just like, we are all in. Oh, wrong place, wrong time. We don't know what happens after practice, all that type of stuff. Terrible, clumsy language. But our sentiment, our behavior is exactly in line with that. This is totally. Absolutely fascinating to me that Alabama is straight up going, we're going with this, and this is how the world's going to see our program, and this is what we're going with.
That's just right.
Totally shocking that a major college would go this route. So I'm just like, wait, how is this going to end? Holy cow.
These, you know, I'm going to bring up, like, we are seeing a little more brazen out of athletic departments and schools.
Yeah.
And I think it's indicative of society in general, right? Society in general is just becoming a little more brazen in a lot of ways. You mentioned the Will Wade LSU. How about, you know, Kansas and Bill Self, lifetime contract under investigation? I mean, it's just kind of like a theme. Now, this one's a little different because it involves like a very much a victim, but it is. We're kind of seeing that. We're seeing it with football programs. We're seeing it with, we're seeing it with NFL teams. I mean,
how about just society, politics
and stuff? And just society. Yeah, right? I think that's where it comes from.
I don't care if he committed a crime.
Yeah.
Right. What's the guy in New York, the one who made up everything and got elected to Congress?
Oh, George Santos.
Yeah, right. George Santos. Yeah.
30 years ago, they all throw him out. They just
Oh, he's immediately out. Right. He's immediately right. He resigns.
Now it's like, well, we need his vote. You know,
yeah.
You know, we don't care. Like it's just he's on our team. Yeah. Right. We'll deal with it. Everything is team. And so and man, the Alabama fans. Predictably, look, it's nothing specific about Alabama fan. Fan is short for fanatic. This could be any other school. There's a whole bunch of them rallying behind Brandon Miller and this is nothing. It's all right. Okay. If that was an Auburn kid, you'd all be screaming and Auburn fans would be like, this is nothing. Right. That's just how it works. But you can just play to the masses and go with it. And that to me is interesting. So they're just saying, look, the rest of the world's going to look at us and go, You guys have zero rules. You don't care. This is not what college basketball used to be about. There's no sense of like, it's a privilege to play for Alabama. We're just going with it. And they're going, oh, well, we're going to win.
Yeah, right.
Incredible.
The defense
story.
Attorney.
March
the
Madness
defense attorney laid it all out. That's what we're going with. We're moving on. Yeah.
On we're moving on. We're going to win the championship. Have you seen this guy? Yeah. This guy is unbelievable. We're going to win. Coach Nate Oates can coach. I don't know if he knows how to do anything else. I'm not convinced he's got a whole lot else going on, but man, can he coach basketball? And they're just like, we're all in. This is fascinating. March Madness, like it has a, I don't even want to use this term because of the seriousness thing, but it's like, it's got someone for people to root against. I mean, they're chanting, lock him up and booing him last night in South Carolina. And Brandon Miller's like, yeah, I'm just going to drop 41 on you anyway.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It's just pure theater.
Yeah.
What Alabama decided to do here by going the heel is fascinating.
And it would be I'm thinking it's going to be really, really interesting to see, like, isn't this going to be a distraction for the next month or so by the team? How will they handle that? Obviously, last night they handled it pretty well, and he handled it
Pass
pretty
it
well.
To Brandon.
So maybe it won't be, yeah, a distraction at all. But man, it just you know, in LSU dealt with that with Will Wade, the chants and the signs and things like that. Yeah, they're like, you know, he was like he was the evil empire in I think we've got a new one right in Tuscaloosa right now.
Yeah, and a far more serious one. They're literally like, we don't care if our, we had three players at the scene of a murder. One got charged with capital murder. They shot up downtown Tuscaloosa and could have killed 10 more people who are just wandering around, and we're going to rally around them. And we are telling the country we don't even know the story. We're finding stuff out on the fly. We don't really, we're good. We're good.
Yeah. A month later. Oh, some things are coming to light. Oh, well, we're going forward.
Right. Why is everyone at, I mean, there's only 12, 13 players on a team. I mean, like scholarship.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was,
and they gave in the middle of this, they gave Nate Oates a contract extension because Texas, and in a twist of like the depravity of college basketball, Texas opened because Chris Beard was charged with felony domestic violence, which was later dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a sport. Again, just theater. Just pure theater.
Yeah.
I don't know what Alabama should have done, but this is way more interesting than if they had done what everyone else had ever done and said, we care about the reputation of our school and our program and trying to find out what's going on. Instead, just said, let's go. Play ball.
Yeah. Yeah, this stance of throwing up their hands. We really can't be involved in anything, you know. So we're going to take that to the extent of we don't want to know. Basically, is what it boils down to. We do not want to know what our two other players are doing there. Darius Miles, you're off the team. The other two guys that are starters, one of whom's the best player we've had in years. We don't want to know, guys. We really don't want to know.
And you know, Alabama, obviously, like any school would have. In schools cite this all the time. It's kind of like, well, you know, he wasn't charged. He was cleared by the police. And so in our mind, right, he's cleared. He's done. And, you know, he's okay. And that's one thing I wanted to briefly talk about is why he wasn't charged. And Dan kind of mentioned it earlier, but it was because apparently just from reading an AL.com story, who cited a bunch of district attorneys and lawyers, is you know, there was no intent to charge him. There was no intent that he knew what the weapon was going to be intended for. What the story kind of said and laid out. So the intent is a big part of this. You know, the police didn't have evidence or don't have evidence that he knew the gun was going to be used for the shooting, and so thus. And it's understandable. If he didn't know, then I guess, you know, you could understand why he wouldn't be charged. Again, I'll go back to, if your friend is asking for his gun to be brought to him, you know, he's not going to just slip it in the pants and go home, right? It obviously there's something there and there's a judgment issue.
Right. He wasn't going out to shoot skeet. I mean, no, none of those, you know, there was no... potential, at least non-dangerous use of that gun. That at least you would think should have factored into his decision there. But
yeah, again, and so like, is the bar at this program simply, did you get charged as an accomplice to a murder? I mean, it's like the judgment here by Brandon Miller was absolutely horrific all night. He's driving around. Yep. You are, and I look, this is for anybody, but you are the number three pick in the NBA draft. Like, your future is enormous. You don't do the driving. Someone else drives. You don't hang out with Darius Miles and his drunk friend. Right. And maybe he didn't. And he got away from him. Maybe he was like, yeah, I'm going in that bar with these guys. It's not, maybe the story's, it's not the line was too long because I can cut the line. It's these two are clowns and I don't want to be near them. Well, that'd be fine. But is that the story, right? I'm not buying the line was too long story. There's parts of this story I don't believe. And that's what makes me say, well, that's like, if you're a parent, like, I mean, Pat, you're a parent, I'm a parent. Like, if your kid comes home, like, well, I was at the scene of a murder, but I'm not going to get charged. You go, okay, man, go to bed. Let's see you in the morning.
No, you're like, it's an all-nighter with you explaining every damn thing that happened is what it
right.
is.
And they're saying, well, we can't ask him because we're interfering in investigation. Man, you are. Wait, what? Well, the police said this. Police say all the time someone isn't a suspect, and then they're the suspect. Yeah. First thing, I don't know. Maybe they did do this. You go get a lawyer, son.
Yeah.
You better go get a lawyer. And I don't know what happened. I can't know. And maybe they did that. That's fine. They should.
Mm-hmm.
The police saying you're not a suspect until you're a person. Then they go person of interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
They spent like 11 days waiting on Aaron Hernandez until they dragged him out of there. Person of interest. They build a case. You don't know. You don't know what else is coming. Miller and Bradley just stayed with the team. They went up to Nashville and played Vanderbilt like 2 days later. Like, there was just a lot of just like, we're just going with it. So,
yeah. No, the one thing Alabama did do, the one Nate Oates's one big action was to call Ray Lewis. Like, that's the weirdest detail in all of this.
I forgot about that.
And he was kind of proud of it, I think.
Tell that story. I forgot about the Ray Lewis bit.
That came out in the like a day or two after. I think it was maybe his press conference on Monday before they're going to go up and play Vanderbilt. And, you know, it's a thoughts and prayers. Everybody's going to play. I got a hold of Ray Lewis to ask him for his guidance on how you handle a situation like this. Like, what? Wait a minute. What? Because Ray Lewis, obviously, famously, 30 years ago, was involved in a stabbing, I think on the night of the Super Bowl.
Night before the Super Bowl. Two people. It was a street fight.
Yeah.
Right? Street fight. And then he had a white suit that was never found. So he ended up getting destructive some kind. I don't remember all of it. So
no,
whatever happened. But Ray, interesting person to call. Yeah.
I did. I had two people text me after that. I had that detail in my column. I had two different people text me and say, what? OJ wasn't available.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just like very odd to all of a sudden choose to like, I'm going to go ask Ray Lewis how you beat the rap on this or whatever. Like, you know, I mean,
it's an athletic mentality. Like, I must talk to a former player. No, what I would do is call criminal defense attorney and say, hey, what do you here's what we know so far. What should I be thinking about? Like that. Right. That's why I don't know that Nate Oates is really on top of this thing. Like, my thing would be like, my entire career is on the line here.
Yeah.
Like, we have a murder. A player on my team murdered somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Two other players on my team were there. What am I walking into? I would have a whole bunch of lawyers talking to me, but I don't know. So Alabama basketball, for every possible bad reason, a tragic situation, and a terrifying situation for anyone who was out in Tuscaloosa that night or sends their kids to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Yet, I don't know, the students and the fans will rally around them. Like, I'm not a big enough fan of anything that I would ever be like, oh, it's all right. the team I root for was just shooting up the town and be like, I'm still going to cheer for him. That's just me. Everyone else can do whatever they want. But that would be the kind of thing.
The shooter was not on the team. He was just
I love the Boston Bruins. I love the Boston Bruins. It's my Boston Bruin mug. If Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak are in a shootout in downtown Boston at a crowded bar, I'm like, off the team.
Yeah, right.
This is the best season the Boston Bruins have ever had. Mm-hmm. They can win the Stanley Cup. I don't care.
No.
I get that's me, not everyone else. But I'd be like, wait a minute. My kid was in that area or could have been in that area. Or someone else's kid. Or anything else. Or this poor woman was killed because she didn't want to hang out with these guys. Why would you? She had her boyfriend there. Yeah. I would be all sorts of questions. And I know there are a lot of Alabama fans that are doing that. The people on Twitter and stuff are not representative, I hope. I mean, some of the comments are pretty classic. But I hope are not. But I don't know. That's how I see this case. I tried to read everything. Tried to look through everything, and there's a lot. I've covered some. I'm not a lawyer. I've covered a bunch of murder trials, though. Been in more murder trials than most lawyers. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens surrounding it. And what is Jaden Bradley?
Jaden
Bradley, why were you there? Who called you?
Who called you? Did you show up? And
I don't know.
Did you purposefully try to block the road with your car? I don't know.
There's so much on the line here, and this is the gun. This team can win it all.
The gun apparently ends up in the room of Javon Quinterly, point guard on the team, according to one report, who was out of town. It's like, you're out of town? You played a game Saturday, you got another game on the road Tuesday, and you're out of town? I don't know. I mean, maybe he just went to Birmingham. You could do that, come back.
Yeah, who knows, right? Yeah, what is town? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Kind of off topic of this, but clearing some things up, Tito's does make tequila, but it's not the Tito's vodka.
Thank you.
Company.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. How about that?
Michael Tito's Davis knew what he was drinking.
Yeah. Out of Mexico makes Tito's tequila, apparently. How about that? Okay. And Ray Lewis, I just quickly read about this. It had been a while since I read about it too, and I didn't remember it. It happened in Buckhead after a Super Bowl party in Atlanta in 2000, and he was one of three men, Ray was, that was at the scene of this stabbing of two men who died, both stabbed to death, Jacinth Baker and Richard Lawler. And all three men that were at the scene were put on trial. And about halfway or 2 weeks into the trial, Ray Lewis's attorney struck a deal with prosecutors for him to plead guilty to obstruction of justice because originally at the scene, Ray had told police he was not at the scene originally, and he was. In fact, they've never found his, as you mentioned, his white suit. Prosecutors say that it was stuffed in a fast food trash bin and has never been found. And certainly, they never arrested anyone. The two other people who were at the scene with Ray were acquitted of the charges, and so no one has ever been found guilty of the stabbing deaths of the two men, but certainly a weird one for Nate Oates to call. And Joe Goodman from AO.com wrote a column, actually just posted as we're on the podcast. And he talked to the victim, Jamea Harris's father, who I guess mentioned that Nate Oates had not called the victim's family, but called Ray Lewis.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, I go back to the text and you go, man, like you said, Ross, like you could have just said, I'm just turning around. You don't need your gun. What are you doing? Walk away. If you have time to text me and wait for a firearm to show up, you're not in imminent danger. What is going on?
Yeah.
These are just all bad judgments. And maybe he's a young guy and he's an older teammate. I'm trying to be as beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
You've been drinking. What are you doing? All of that could have done nothing. Yeah. And this goes away. And, you know, there was no, you know, what gun, where's the gun? Why is there a gun in my car? What?
No, he knew the gun was in the car.
Right. He knew the gun was in the car. He knew the gun was in the car. He knew what he was driving over there with. He did it. It's not criminal, but it's certainly Alabama has decided that they're going in on this team. And again, I mean, most of the time when we've had scandals in college basketball outside of the Baylor situation or the New Mexico State, that was sort of a self-defense. They're not even charging them. The police called the player there a victim. Like, it's, you know, the pay to play.
It's pretty. They're pretty garden variety.
People get fired up about, like, those are just like colorful. It's a colorful sport, right? The coach is kind of a jerk and yelled at my coach, or he's like, I don't know. He's like one of these, like every March, it's got some guy that's just like over the top, like cocky or something, right? Remember the kid at Ole Miss? Yeah, like him or hate.
Yeah. Marshall Henderson.
Marshall Henderson, right? Kind of a fun guy to have around. It's like, oh, we got Marshall Henderson here. Yeah. This is just I'm just fascinated at Alabama's handling of this and stance. And it's going to be interesting to play out. Anyone else got anything else? Ross, appreciate the fact checks. We needed that.
Yeah. That's absolutely good.
I'm not drinking Tito's tequila, by the way. I'm not going to do it. The vodka's good. I feel like you can only make
vodka's
one.
Vodka's enough.
I feel like you can do one thing well, and that's it.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, Alabama now, for better or worse, becomes the most interesting story by far in college basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have the best team, and now they have the biggest controversy looming over them.
In years.
And their schedule, whoa, I mean, they've got big games. Arkansas, who's coming on Saturday in Tuscaloosa. Auburn, Iron Bowl, grudge match, rivalry game. That's in Tuscaloosa, luckily for Brandon Miller. Because if it was at Auburn, and then at Texas A&M, who's right behind Alabama in the standings. Texas A&M's having a phenomenal season. And then you go to the SEC tournament. So.
And then the NCAAs, yeah. I mean, can you imagine Final Four or Nate Oates and on the top of a ladder cutting down the title net? I mean, crazy. Yeah. It's going to be really, really interesting.
You have Nate Oates against Rodney Terry, who has replaced Chris Beard at Texas. There's your championship matchup.
Yeah. Good gosh. All right. I'm not going to do a joke segment on this. This is a tragedy and this is too serious. Yeah. And we did one, believe me, we never thought we'd be spend an entire hour on one topic. I don't know if we ever have. Maybe.
Boy.
We have.
Rarely.
We have rarely. And I certainly didn't think it'd be Alabama basketball, but here we are. So we'll get back to more stuff next week. We appreciate everyone listening. We hope we got... did our best here to get, it's a very complicated case and there's a lot going on. So we did our very, very best to get all of the ideas and hopefully handle this in the fairest manner we can. But it's interesting. So our intent was good. I don't know how our execution was, or at least mine, but I tried. Keep subscribing. It's an interesting podcast. If you're only listening for the first time, we try to do things a little different here. So we appreciate you listening. Subscribe, share us on social media, and tell your friends about us. We will talk to you later.